It's the E-commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you grow your e-commerce business faster and more efficiently by cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and guidance from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello, Master Plan World. Welcome to our latest podcast. It is a pleasure, as it always is, to have so many of you guys out there listening. I'm Chloe Thomas, the creator of the E-commerce Master Plan. I'm an author, speaker, and advisor, and I focus on helping you solve your e-commerce marketing problems. You can join the chat about anything e-commerce marketing, or quite frankly, anything e-commerce, in the E-commerce Master Plan World Facebook group at ecommercemasterplan.com/Facebook. Now, today we're diving into the world of product sourcing. Just how do you go about getting your products manufactured to a quality, price, and speed that you're happy with, and then get them to you so you can sell them? Well, it's a very complex process and yet another skill for an e-commerce business owner to understand. An essential skill too, as if you get it right, it will increase your margins and speed to market. So to help you get to grips with it, I'm joined today by Nathan Resnick. Nathan is the founder of Sourcify, a platform and service that he's built to guide you through the process of sourcing your products. And he has some serious skill in this area, having run 3 different e-commerce companies, bought dozens of products to market, and even been involved in Kickstarters that have raised over 7 figures. Hello, Nathan.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks so much for having me.
It's going good, and it's awesome to have you on here to talk about a subject which I know far too little about. So I've just given our listeners a very quick overview of you and your business and what you're up to. But before we get deep into product sourcing, how did you get started off in e-commerce yourself?
Yeah, you know, for me, it really started actually on the ground floor in China, where I was one of 48 American high school students that was sponsored by the government to go over and live with a host family that didn't speak English in a local Chinese high school. And this was not too long ago. It was in 2010, so 8 years ago, a young guy. And, you know, really, being in China, I saw all these factories producing so many different products, and I was just amazed by the power of them to, you know, produce these products. And so I ended up starting to sell products on Amazon and eBay, started doing pretty well in high school, and then realized in college that I wanted to create my own products. You know, I didn't want to go sell someone else's designs or ideas. And so went out and actually invented the first leather watch strap without holes, or with like a zip tie, like a belt buckle. And we grew that to a 6-figure Shopify store in the first year. And that was really kind of the spark and first moments in e-commerce for me was, number one, starting out more on, you know, bigger marketplaces. And then number two, really transitioning to create my own brand. And I think, you know, in today's world, we can dive into how brand equity can really create a sustainable business for e-commerce entrepreneurs.
Well, it's kind of like you took the entire e-commerce life cycle journey that some people spend decades working through and did it in just a couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was kind of just a matter of being more excited by creating my own product. And that process, you know, the manufacturing process of actually building your own product and creating it from the ground floor can be very challenging. And so that's, you know, what led me into what I do today and started a company called Sourcify, where we help hundreds of companies around the world, both, you know, big and small, manufacture products faster and more cost effectively through our sourcing platform.
So literally, and let's just talk about exactly what Sourcify does for a couple of minutes. So literally, if I'm someone who's either already got an e-commerce business or has an idea for a product, I come to you and go, this is what I want to do. How do I do it? Is it that simple?
It can be. I mean, basically, you know, for us, the process works where you just go on our website, trysourcify.com, you submit a product that you want to manufacture. And, you know, we have a connections to over 700 factories that we've pre-vetted around the world, mostly in China, but also across Asia and Mexico. And we've got our own office in Guangzhou. And so you just submit a product that you want to manufacture. You know, we've produced everything from sunglasses and shoes to bunk beds and casters and hair extensions. And that product gets automatically sent out to about 5 factories that we've pre-vetted. And those factories then submit back price quotes on these products that you've submitted to manufacture. You then see those price quotes and then can get going through a production run. You know, obviously starting with your sampling process, you never want to go into production before you sample your products and, you know, get through a production process. And then for the importation, we partner up with companies like Freightos and Flexport that handle the importation to, you know, your warehouse, apartment, or your 3PL partner facility.
Cool. So with your system and your team, someone can get it right to deliver to their warehouse, ready to send to their customers from idea.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, we're actually working on a pretty cool plugin right now with both Flexport and Freightos that enable us to streamline the freight forwarding process of importing your products. Because that's a huge pain in someone's supply chain as well.
Yeah, and I think we may come back to that if I'm feeling brave enough as we get towards the end. But there's some other bits I want to kind of pick up on kind of closer to the beginning of the process. Mm-hmm. You say kind of like glibly and flippantly, you just submit your product to our website. Now, what does that mean? Because I'm you know, is that I've got an idea for some sunglasses with blue lenses and plastic arms that are white, or does it have to be a properly specced out product at that point?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously the best products that get through production the fastest are the ones that are more specced out. So if you have a tech pack or a spec sheet, that's amazing. If you don't, what we often request is just sending images or links to images of similar products on the market. So we literally have people that are submitting, you know, links to Amazon products or links to all sorts of different products to try to, you know, say, hey, you know, what's going to be the price point to manufacture these products? Or, hey, can I, you know, get through a manufacturing process through Sourcify with just this link? And so we work with a lot of factories that, you know, obviously produce these products already. And that's really, I think, one of the best ways to go about production is people think that you want to find, you know, some secret hidden factory. At the end of the day, you want to work with a factory that's produced that product before.
Yeah. Saves a lot of time if they know how to do it, doesn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, that's the biggest dynamic right there, is enabling your factory to get, you know, your production through your products through production faster than ever before.
So you literally have people coming and kind of using you as part of the research where they're going, I want to produce something like that. How much would it be?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we try not to do the actual research part. So, you know, you should have a target price in mind or understanding of how much you're willing to pay to produce these products. Obviously, if it's your first time producing this product, then, you know, we're going to give you a price like visibility, because we send out this product to about 5 different factories that we've partnered with to give back price quotes. So you'll have price visibility automatically through our platform.
Okay, so who should be designing and creating their own products? Is it specific types of retail business, or could it literally, is there a place for every e-commerce and retail business out there to be creating their own products?
It's across the board. I mean, so you look in the retail industry where, you know, last month I spoke at a big trade show, ASD Market Week, where there was 40,000 retailers and wholesalers. And, you know, traditionally these retailers are going to buy through wholesalers, but right now, you know, these retailers, to survive, they need to increase their margins. And so they're going directly to factories and cutting out these wholesalers. And then you look at the wholesale business, and wholesalers, they can make 50% more of their money selling direct to consumer through e-commerce rather than selling through retail. So there's this huge divide in that industry now where, you know, retailers are going factory direct and wholesalers are going direct to consumer. And it's really fueling the growth, number one, of the e-commerce industry, and number two, of this, you know, sourcing manufacturing industry that Sourcify's in.
It's going to be interesting to see what the winning factor is. You know, who wins exactly, and why they win in a couple of years' time. But so there's product opportunities for everybody in terms of creation. I guess what sort of products are we talking about? Are we talking about plastic things, wooden things, fashion, clothing? Could it be anything?
Most of the products that we typically manufacture are fashion, household, and promotional products. And really, you know, here's the thing. If you look at the top 100 Shopify stores, they're mostly segmented into 10 product categories. You know, you have apparel, sunglasses, watches, shoes, socks, bags. Those product categories are very strong on Shopify because, number one, people are more familiar with purchasing those products online. And number two, the margins on those products from a manufacturing standpoint make it so it's a very profitable product to sell online. But, you know, as you see, the brands that are in the top 100 Shopify stores have all created brand equity. And by brand equity, I mean, they have customers that are willing to purchase their products because they have their, you know, brand name on them.
Got you. So it's both about it's kind of like a three-pronged attack, isn't it? It's the mm-hmm. product at the right margin, so it's worth doing. It's a product which the customer likes to buy, And then it's creating that brand recognition so they buy it from you.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, that's really the whole dynamic right there.
So what are the benefits of moving your manufacturing overseas rather than doing it in your home country?
Definitely. I mean, that's a great question. And really, you know, the first answer right off the bat is you know, improving your margin. You can save a lot of times up to, you know, over 100% going direct to a factory overseas. I would say typically you're looking at saving 30 to 50%. But, you know, for an e-commerce company, people a lot of times don't realize that if you can save 30% of your unit cost by going directly to a factory, that means you have 30% more to spend on acquiring a customer. And if you can go out and acquire customers profitably for more than any of your competitors, then you're going to win the business. And so really at the end of the day, your supply chain directly correlates into your digital marketing, you know, ad campaigns, because your unit cost dictates how much you can spend to acquire a customer. You know, to be profitable, your CPA has to, you know, be under your gross margin, basically. So I would say number one is improving margin. Number two is actually having the ability to customize your products however you want. You know, you can put any colors, logos, designs into these products. And that's the beauty of going directly to a factory. And then number three, I think, would be, you know, really the experience and the actual, you know, ground floor approach of, you know, building a brand through a factory, because then you get to create your own products and you can even showcase that in your marketing campaigns, you know, showcase how your products are being manufactured instead of if you're buying wholesale or buying through, you know, someone else, buying someone else's products, you don't necessarily get to tell that story of how they're being made.
And is there one key country that everyone should be outsourcing to? I mean, you know, you say you've got your office actually based in China. Is it just, it's just a no-brainer, everyone should go to China? Or do you need to kind of compare different countries and all the prices of getting it re-imported and all the rest of it to find the right solution?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, you know, China has the best infrastructure right now for manufacturing. The labor rates in countries like Vietnam, India, and Pakistan are a bit cheaper, but, you know, with labor rates being low, you know, really you got to look at the total cost, and the defect rates in India and Pakistan and some of these other countries is usually a bit higher than China. So at the end of the day, you know, through China's infrastructure and just ability to export products at great speeds, the total cost usually makes more sense in China. And the infrastructure is really why, you know, China has become the go-to outsourcing spot.
And is it, let's kind of quickly enter the world of direct dispatch, if we may. Is it an option to get things to be dispatched directly from the factory, or should people be considering rather getting it bought back to their own country, their own warehouse, and then dispatching individually to customers themselves?
Yeah, so, you know, with direct dispatching, I mean, it's similar to like drop shipping in some sense. We typically don't do drop shipping because drop shipping suppliers don't really create custom products. Mm-hmm. What you can do is actually partner with a third-party logistics company that's based in China or Hong Kong, and have them ship out these products direct to consumer through their facility. You know, the shipping costs will be a bit higher as you're shipping individually across the world. So typically what people do is, you know, manufacture these products in bulk, import them in bulk, and then set up a, you know, direct-to-consumer fulfillment partnership with a third-party logistics facility to ship out these products individually to their end consumers in that same country. So if you have, you know, a lot of consumers in Europe, you're probably going to want to do your fulfillment in Europe. If you have a lot of consumers in North America, you know, you're probably going to want to do your fulfillment in North America. So really, you want to be able to understand your supply chain and understand where these products are going to actually create a more fluid process and a better customer experience.
Got you. I couldn't agree with you more. I think there's a lot to be said for having a bit more control over your customer experience. And thank you very much for using the term drop shipping. I was having a proper mental blank and couldn't think of the words there at all. So what we're saying is that better to control your own distribution. But I suppose one of the interesting things you mentioned in there was that the drop shipping manufacturers don't tend to be so good at the customized product. So
right.
It's actually even more fundamental than where the package comes from and who has control over making sure that experience is good for the customer, it actually affects your product choices if you're looking for a drop shipping manufacturer.
Right. I mean, you know, here's what I would say about drop shipping basically is that with drop shipping, you really have to be careful of who you're working with, what you're selling, and what's going on in your supply chain, because a lot of these drop shipping entrepreneurs, they're just picking products off of AliExpress or, you know, different apps like that, and saying, hey, I'm going to start running ads through Facebook or Google AdWords to these products and see how they do. And if you scale up really fast and get a great product, you know, these suppliers, they can't go out and produce 10,000 units in, you know, a few days. They've got to actually manufacture those products. And at the end of the day, you know, most of these dropshipping shipments are actually done through ePackets. And ePackets is a partnership between the Chinese Postal Service and the United States Postal Service that subsidizes the shipment rates. So it's a lot cheaper, and I mean a lot cheaper, to send products from China to America than it is to send products from America to China. And this partnership was made, you know, 10, 15 years ago to boost international trade. Trade has, you know, obviously been boosted. And I think, you know, I predict that the e-packet shipping method is going to become more expensive, which is going to make it even more expensive for these drop shipping entrepreneurs to, you know, continue to ship their products at such a cheap rate. And when you're drop shipping and shipping through an e-packet, you know, your customers aren't getting your products for 3 or 4 weeks. It's a really slow process and creates a very poor customer experience. But you're mostly, you know, it's typically called churn and burn, where you're kind of, you know, burning these customers because they're purchasing their products but not getting them for a month, where they can just go on Amazon and get, you know, the products in under 2 days. And so I think, you know, mark my word, in the next 5 years, I think e-packets are going to get more expensive. And I think you'll see a bit of a decline in drop shipping.
Yeah, I think let's not get into the politics of all this. But from my limited understanding of what's going on in America at the moment, I would say there's a strong chance that the ability to do that drop shipping method is probably going to be going. And like you said, it is kind of, there are so many reasons not to do drop shipping if you want to build a sustainable long-term business with great relationships with your customers. So let's leave drop shipping behind. For those, I assume you get some people coming to you at Sourcify who are first-time manufacturers of their own products. I assume you also get some people coming who've had utter horror stories and nightmares trying to work it out themselves. So from those people, what are the common pitfalls you see people making when they start trying to source their own products for the first time?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of mix-ups, everything from product specs to quality to, you know, payment errors. I would say, you know, quality is key, where a lot of times people think, oh, they can get products for so cheap overseas. And, you know, you can, like, it's going to be very affordable. But at the end of the day, you have to be very wary of who you're working with. I mean, if you're just going online and trying to find a manufacturer through Alibaba, you should know that about 70% of those companies on Alibaba are trading companies or wholesalers or agents, and not actual factories. And for them as a trading company, it's a lot easier to disappear than if you're an actual factory. And so I would say, you know, you got to be very wary of who you're working with. There are certain steps you can take in due diligence process to actually make sure you're working with a factory. You know, if you have boots on the ground in China, you can actually look at their Chinese business license and see how they're registered as a company in China, if they're as a trading company or manufacturer. But really, you know, at the end of the day, you've got to have a strong understanding of your supply chain. And so quality is obviously very important. You know, we do quality control checks at Sourcify for a fixed price of $200. You know, we give you a 30-page PDF report detailing all your products that are being produced before they're shipped out and before you pay the balance in full. Because typically for production runs, you're paying, you know, 30% down to start production and then 70% down before shipment. And so during that 70% remaining balance payment, there's typically a lot of mix-up. And so you've got to be very careful, you know, always double check or triple check the payment accounts that the factory tells you to send this money to, and really just be careful about what's going on. So by double checking, I mean, you know, have them send it over email, also have them send it over Skype or WeChat or WhatsApp, you know, make sure you're getting that bank account information correct, because there has been, you know, a lot of factory accounts that we've heard of that have gotten hacked in terms of, you know, their email servers being hacked and them, you know, hacker just changing the bank account numbers that you're supposed to send the money to. But you really have to be careful and be aware of what's going on. And really, you know, I don't like to say don't trust anyone, but don't become too comfortable, you know, working overseas right off the bat. You know, even if the communication is going well and the process is going fluid, unless you're using a trusted source, you have to be very careful and, you know, really dot your I's and cross your T's.
Have a healthy level of skepticism.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
You know, don't, you don't have to be paranoid, but definitely be cautious of what's going on.
And I suppose the point between, you know, when you've paid the 30% to start production and the 70% before you ship it, that's the point at which you have the power to make sure things are done well and to kind of set that this relationship is about creating proper quality product, not about shipping us 30%, which are duds or something. So that's right. The key point to do it. Is it necessary to go and see the factory during that time span?
It's not necessary. I mean, it's cool to go on a trip to China and see the factory dynamic, but very few people do. I mean, especially at a smaller scale, and especially if you're working with, you know, an agent or a platform. So I would say it's not necessarily 100%, you know, you have to. It would be a cool experience maybe after your, you know, first few production runs. In your production, first production run, I mean, if you're only spending a few thousand dollars or so or whatnot, then it's not going to be worth it. I would say, you know, plan to go in the future just for the experience because it is amazing in China and, you know, Asia is an amazing part of the world. But at the end of the day, you know, it's not going to be worth it in your first production run to go over there.
And you mentioned there that your first production run might just be a couple of thousand dollars. I guess how much cash does it take to design and manufacture your own product for the first time?
It doesn't cost really as much as people think. It really depends on the minimum order quantities that you're getting. I would say typically most people are spending at least, you know, $3,000 to produce their own products overseas. And it really just depends. You know, if you're creating a custom product that needs an injection mold, that mold might cost, you know, $10,000 or more. It really depends on the situation that you have right now overseas, and that, you know, really depends on the product that you're looking to produce.
It sounds like if you're a bit canny and clever with it all, then you can find a way to, you know, to at least test the product for not too much financial risk. And then if the product's really flying, then it's time to go and get that custom injection molding to really make it perfect, I suppose.
Right, exactly.
Okay. I said I'd come back and ask you about freight forwarding, because it's one thing getting the product created and getting a good quality product. It's another one getting it across several borders and into your warehouse. So do you want to just explain a little bit about the challenges there?
Yeah, in terms of getting your product across borders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to want to basically link up with a freight forwarder that has a lot of experience and knowledge importing your specific products, because, you know, you have to understand that, you know, codes that these importations have with taxes, and you have to understand how you're going to get through a customs process. And so really, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to the specific products and what kind of tariffs you're going to have to be paying. You know, the HS codes are going to be, you know, very important for you to understand what kind of tariffs you're going to have to pay on these importations.
So definitely something to speak to an expert about before you get lost.
Yeah. And you can go on the, you know, US government tariff website. It's just hts.usitc.gov. And they've got a pretty solid database that helps you, you know, get through the process and understand what you're going to be paying on these imports. But it's definitely something that you want to understand with your freight broker.
Okay, excellent. Well, look, Nathan, it's now time for the top tips round. And I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. So first up, the book top tip. If everybody listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
I would 100% recommend 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. I mean, I know it's a bit of an outdated book now, but in some sense, but really the actual kind of mindset that it gets you in by reading it is incredible. I mean, it's all about optimization, automation, and really planning ahead. And so for me, reading that book, it made me realize, okay, it's not that hard to start a business. You know, here are the steps that I need to take to grow a business and start a business. And so I would highly recommend the 4-hour.
Excellent recommendation. Okay, the traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
I think cross promotions through influencers is huge right now. You know, you don't have to be a big influencer to have an audience necessarily. And so I think a great way to drive some free traffic is through, you know, promotional giveaways with another brand that's similar to yours or with another influencer that's similar to you. Because then you get to tap into each of your audiences. So you can do, you know, posts on Instagrams, you can do, you know, shout out on Facebook. There's a bunch of different ways to grow an audience together. And I think that's really kind of a bit of an overlooked method. And there's so many people out there that are probably tapping into a similar audience or that have a similar size following to you that would be open to, you know, making that shout out exchange.
Rather like we're doing with this podcast.
In some sense.
Okay, the tool top tip then. Maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
Yeah, I would say 100% Slack. I don't know if you're familiar with Slack, but it's, you know, one of the fastest growing messaging platforms for companies around the world. We use Slack, you know, all the time in our daily communications across our team. And we have a, you know, international team across Asia and America. And so it's a really amazing messaging platform that, you know, basically makes it so you don't have to email your colleagues to see what's going on and see what's up. You can Slack them.
Excellent. Okay, then the growth top tip. If you met someone today who's focused on growing their e-commerce business from 100 orders per month to 1,000, what would be your number one tip for them?
I would say focus on a channel. You know, you see a lot of people that are trying to spread themselves too thin right off the bat. And I mean, if you aren't doing 1,000 orders a month yet, then focus in on a channel and try to scale it up. You know, what would it mean if you start ranking, you know, number 3 or number 2 on an Amazon search term? Like, focus in on a channel and focus in on a certain demographic that you think is going to love your product. And once you have that demographic set, then start expanding, you know, then start expanding across the board. Don't, you know, start scaling up to different products if you're only selling the product, 100 times a month. I mean, it's not that much. And so for you, I think really at the end of the day, you should focus in on figuring out the right channel to grow. And then once you crush that channel, expand across channels.
Oh, yet more excellent advice there. So Masterplan World, you can find these top tips and links to everything else we've been chatting about in today's episode by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast, where you will see a link to this show. Nathan, before we say goodbye, could you let the listeners know where they can find you and Sourceify on the web and social media, please?
Yeah, totally. So, you can find me on Twitter. I'm just NateRez94 or LinkedIn, just Nathan Resnick. And our website at Sourceify is just trysourceify.com. Happy to answer any manufacturing or e-commerce questions you have. And thank you so much for having me on today.
It's been a pleasure. And look, everyone, I'll add links to that and everything else we talked about today in the show notes, which you can find at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast, or just go to the website, click on the podcast tab, or use the search box. Nathan, you've been an absolute star. So much good information about a topic we do not cover enough. So thank you so much for being here and sharing your experience with us.
Thank you.
So good to get a look at an area which is really essential, isn't it? How much margin you make on the actual product to enable you to do the marketing, to enable you to grow the business, and how to go about sourcing those products from cost-effective factories with a reliable partner. And that's basically what Nathan was taking us through there. Lots of complexity to it, but I think it's one of those areas which where the experts are worth their weight in gold to help you get it right first time, which not only is about saving you money, it's also about saving you time to market and saving you from disappointing customers. What do you think of that? Do you like it? Would you like more about products? Do let me know. You can join in the discussion about it in the Facebook group, which is at ecommercemasterplan.com/Facebook. Have a great week and keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com.